Please welcome Dr. Allison Arthur. Dr. Arthur is a Mayo Clinic trained dermatologist and dermopathologist. She is double board certified by the American Board of Dermatology. She's also a tap and jazz dancer and participates in community musical theater productions.
Okay, great. Today we are going to be talking about tips for having an effective relationship with your supervising physician. I am planning to leave plenty of time for questions at the end, so please feel free to send any questions about things that I present or just any questions that you have as well. I'm happy to answer. Our objectives today are to discuss different ways that PAs and physicians can work together in an outpatient dermatology setting. I want to describe some different strategies for how we can collaborate on difficult patient cases, and then also explore ways that we can share knowledge for mutual professional development. So, a little bit about my background. I own a private dermatology practice. I employ a board-certified Mohs surgeon, a nurse practitioner, and five PAs. Many of you may know Gina Mangan, who's the past president of SDPA. She has been with our practice for over 10 years. My other PAs vary as far as how long they've been with our practice. Two of them have been with us for about 7 to 10 years, and then two have been with us for about 2.5 years. I worked in an academic department for a year prior to going into private practice, and so some of the ways that I developed models for like onboarding our new PAs was related to my work in academics and how I worked with the residents. And then just a note that this talk was purely based on my personal experience, because this isn't really a topic where you can look up a lot of evidence-based medicine articles. But I feel like we have a really special practice. We have one location, we all work together really closely, and we are constantly collaborating and discussing cases, and so I'm hoping that you will have some things that you can take back to your practice. This is a picture of our group in Orlando, Florida. And why is this talk important? So I thought this slide was really interesting. This is who Americans spend their time with based on age. So if you look on this chart, let's see if I can get the laser pointer. Here we go. So it's this sort of like forest green line here. This is the amount of time that we spend with our coworkers over time. And this is like how much time we spend in our family in purple and with friends in the lighter green color. So we really spend way more time for most of our lives with our coworkers than we do even with our family and friends. And so having a great relationship is really critical, I think, to our happiness. And having effective relationships with physicians and PAs, I think the overall goals would be, one, that the patients are getting the best quality care, that we all have great long-term job satisfaction, that we feel like we're in a situation where we're growing personally. That's really linked to happiness, if we feel like we're constantly improving and getting better. And I think all of these things help to reduce burnout, which we know is a big deal in medicine. I think anytime you're getting started in a new position, whether you're a brand new PA, whether you're new to dermatology, or even if you've been in derm for a long time but you're starting with a new practice, it's critical to start off reviewing all of the details about your training and experience with the person who's going to be your supervising physician. Sometimes physicians who don't have experience working with PAs are scared because they know that PA backgrounds can be really variable. And I think that just going through exactly what you've done and where you're at is very helpful to see where are you now, but then also, where do you want to go? I have one PA who, when she came to our practice, was really interested in cosmetics, and she said, I really want to learn and expand my skills and techniques and add to my different procedures that I can do. Whereas others have said, no, I really want to take on those hard medical dermatology cases, or I want to do more surgeries. So just establishing that from the get-go will help to model what your schedule is like, what conferences you go to, what the priorities are. Some things I think it's helpful to go over with any new supervising physician would be, what clinical rotations did you do while you were in your professional training program? What was your previous job experience like, whether in dermatology or in other fields? And what was your relationship like with your supervising physician? How often did you interact? So I know for the PAs who are in my practice, this is very, variable. Some only saw their supervising physicians like once a week. Some people had supervising physicians who would just sign off on their charts. Others, worked very closely, shadowed their supervising physician for a year before they started seeing patients on their own. And so having some of that information, I think, is really helpful for your supervising physician to know. Also, I would review if you have any additional, specialty training, like the SDPA Diplomat Fellowship Program. I know when I reviewed the information about the Diplomat Fellowship Program, I was so impressed with the depth and the breadth of topics that were covered in that program. There's also the new Dermatology Certificate of Added Qualifications, and so that might be something, maybe you're interested in getting that qualification, and or maybe you have it already. It's good to talk about what conferences do you usually attend and how often, and that can also lead into making a plan for your ongoing continuing education of, how many conferences will you attend a year, how much time will be dedicated to that in your schedule, et cetera. And I would definitely make sure, if you're looking for a new job, that's always something good to ask about, like, how much does the practice value continuing medical education for you as a PA? History of prescribing certain medications. So what I mean by that is just going through, what's your comfort level? How often are you prescribing biologics? What about some of the older medicines that are high risk, like methotrexate, cyclosporin, mycophenolate? Just kind of reviewing, what your experience has been. Do you feel comfortable with parameters of laboratory monitoring, et cetera? Making sure that you both are on the same page as far as how often are you going to check labs after starting, say, Dapsone, or what labs will you check if you're starting a biologic? Just really good to make sure that everybody's on the same page, so that if the patient's seeing the physician and seeing you at different appointments, that they're getting a clear and consistent message. Finally, when you're starting in a new practice or with a new supervising physician, I think it's helpful to review all of the procedures that you performed, at what frequency, and your comfort level with those procedures. And again, looking at what things might you want to add to your skill set. So talking about all of these things, I think, helps to identify if you have any perceived knowledge gaps or weaknesses, and then as well highlighting areas where you'd like to learn or grow. Then also, when you're starting in a new position, I think it's important for you and the supervising physician to sort of define what the structure will be. And this is really variable in talking to dermatologists from other practices. So, there are some physicians where they see all of the new patients, or they want to see patients like every few times that they come into the practice. For my practice, my experienced PAs like Gina, there will oftentimes be patients who've been seeing them for 10 years and I've never met them before. And I feel comfortable with that because I know that if she has any questions, concerns, et cetera, she's gonna get me involved and pull me in. But some physicians, wanna make sure that they are seeing the patients periodically. Also, just knowing when to escalate cases. So sometimes it's nice just to have a rule of thumb where if you see a patient for a rash like three times and they're not getting better, then that's time to either pull the physician in or schedule them back on the next follow-up visit to see the physician. So anytime you're onboarding with a new practice, again, whether you're a very experienced derm PA or if you're brand new, I really think it's a great idea just to have some time shadowing the physician. It's a good opportunity to make sure that you guys are both on the same page, you're kind of seeing the flow of how the practice works, you're getting some of the physician's verbiage down, seeing their prescribing patterns and the way that they explain things to patients, et cetera. I think it just helps, again, to make sure that you both are kind of have a same vision. I think it's a good idea to come up with an education plan, again, defining like how many conferences you'll go to. For our newer PAs, we've done topic reviews or textbook reviews. For a while, we were going through chapters of the Andrews textbook where we would read a chapter a week and then we would review it and talk about different key points, treatment options, et cetera. We also one time made just a list of topics like lichen planus, lichen sclerosis, granulom annulare, and then it was informal, but every week we would just kind of spend 5 or 10 minutes talking about that particular diagnosis and running through the basics of the epidemiology and the pathogenesis and the workup, differential diagnosis and treatments. For new PAs, I tend to use a graduated responsibility model where they start off really working very closely with me, kind of heavier supervision, and then gradually getting more and more independence over time. So there's some different ways that PAs and physicians can work together on one schedule, and so I'm going to review a few of these models that we've done in our practice. For our PAs who have worked or who have just been with our practice for about 2 years or so, they will often work with me on my calendar. So the patients are all scheduled to see me. And typically how we do this is that the PA will come in with me, we'll review the history, kind of do the physical exam together. I'll talk a little bit about the diagnosis or the workup, and then the PA will kind of take over. And so if it's, say, a rash and we're doing biopsies, they'll do the biopsies. If we're recommending a high-risk medication, they'll go over the risks and side effect profile of the medication, expectations for the treatment course, et cetera. They might review in detail procedures like photodynamic therapy, or if we're going to be doing a future surgery, they might go over what to expect with the surgery and do other procedures, maybe like cryotherapy. So this is super helpful for me because it allows me to keep moving and stay on time and really optimize the workflow. I'm able to hopefully see more patients in the same amount of time. But at the same time, the patients aren't getting shortchanged because I know that they're getting that excellent counseling and education from the PA. It's also really nice for establishing a patient's rapport with a PA. So sometimes we find that patients are a little bit biased and they'll say, no, I only want to be scheduled with Dr. Arthur. But guess what? When they come in for that visit with me and then they meet my PA and they see how knowledgeable and professional and, you know, what a wonderful bedside manner that she has, they love the PA and then they want to see the PA in follow-up. It also works out great because with things like a new rash, for example, I had a case recently where we were doing a workup for possibly bullous pemphigoid. So we saw the patient together, the PA did the biopsies, and then in the meantime, between that visit and the suture removal, the pathology results came back. The PA and I had a quick, you know, review of the results and the treatment plan and labs we were going to order. And then the PA saw the patient at the suture removal visit and was able to, you know, review all of that and implement the plan. So I find that to be very effective. And, you know, the patient knows that I'm on board as well, but the PA is really helping me to provide that great care for the patient. For a while, we tried a skin cancer screening clinic, and we would just do like a half day where I would work with two or three PAs, and the PAs would all be seeing patients for skin cancer screenings. And so they would go in and look the patient head to toe, you know, go over their history. I would come in just to look at any spots that the PA was worried about or that the patient was worried about, and then kind of be involved in that decision making if biopsies were going to be done or not, and then the PA would carry out the plan. So this was helpful for me, again, because it's hard to, you know, look through every inch of the scalp and between the toes and move the patient around, et cetera. It takes, you know, a lot of time. So I was able to be part of the key decision making for a lot of patients' skin checks, and the patients, you know, were happy they get to see me, and then they have this great relationship with the PA. So that is one option. I think especially for like newer PAs or PAs who are newer to dermatology, that can work well. And then for surgery clinic, I think that there's a wonderful role for the PA and the physician to be working together. So I mentioned that we have a board-certified Mohs surgeon. And so several of our PAs who are interested in surgery will work with her. And so they're assisting in the Mohs cases and you know, really involved when she's taking the layers, maybe then they're cauterizing while she takes the tissue out, et cetera. When it's time for the repair, she'll typically do some of the initial deep sutures, and then the PA will usually do all of the top sutures. So this is great for our PAs who are interested in surgery because it's a chance for them to really learn about some more challenging closures. They can learn some new techniques, maybe a new type of a suture that they haven't done before. They can also be directly involved with the management of complications. So again, they're growing their skill set for handling those difficult surgeries. It's extremely helpful, again, just for continuity, because if the patient comes in for a wound check and it's a day that our Mohs surgeon isn't there, but the PA is in the office, if the nurse has a concern, they can pull the PA in. The PA is totally familiar with the case. The patient knows the PA. Also, the PA might then see the patient the next time they come in for their next skin check. So very, very effective and helpful in our practice. So what about collaborating on cases when our PAs are working independently? So when we want to discuss cases, there's several ways that we do that. Sometimes they just try to grab me between patients, and they know when they can just kind of show me some photos or when they need to pull me in. So there's some things that you just have to see or feel in person, or sometimes my PA is 100% confident about their diagnosis and their treatment plan, but maybe the patient's not. And so they'll say, I just need you to kind of, you know, give me your blessing here to help the patient know that we're on track. We're viewing photos, they'll pull up on their iPad in the EMR, run through the photos real quick, just say, is there anything else I'm missing? Or do you agree with this plan? And I just kind of give it the quick yes and keep going. Sometimes when there's questions about maybe labs or biopsy results, they'll send me a task through our electronic medical record or a message through our electronic medical record. So I put a little screenshot at the bottom there. I don't know if you can read that, but this was one I had gotten where they said, I have my first central centrifugal cicatricial alopecia case. I did a biopsy for H&E and DIF. They told me what the findings were and said, okay, this is my plan. I'm gonna start clobetasol, intralesional Kenalog injections, you know, but what else should I do? Should I be starting something orally? I just wanna make sure that I don't, I want to prevent further hair loss, and I want to make sure that I have my plan before I call the patient. So this is like a pretty common type of a message that they'll send me just to say, hey, can you review the case and let's just make sure we're good with this plan. Sometimes we'll just, you know, review cases at lunch or after work. And then we also will a lot of times review difficult cases at our weekly provider meetings. And I'm going to talk more about this because I think this is really, really critical and important. So here we are at our weekly provider meetings. This is nothing fancy, but we dedicate the lunch hour on Tuesdays to all meeting together, and we talk while we're having lunch. And Gina, I'm so sorry. I don't know why you're not in this photo. So at our weekly meetings, we use this time to discuss interesting or challenging cases. So I try to keep a little post-it note of, you know, good cases that I see. Maybe it's something rare. Maybe it's an interesting or unusual presentation. Maybe it was something surprising. Could even be just like a subtle melanoma that we picked up and say, hey, let's look at these photos. We also talk about challenging cases, and I want to emphasize that it's not just my PAs getting input, but this is where I get input as well. I'll say, hey, what do you think of this? And I really rely on them and value their input on my difficult cases as well. And I think we all really learn a lot from this. And it's great for the patient because, you know that they're getting different opinions, different perspectives. Maybe somebody was just at a conference or just read a journal article where they have some great out-of-the-box idea. And so it's great for the patients, so it's great for us as well. This is also the time that we talk about like new medications or new procedures. So for example, recently there was a new type of filler that came out, and kind of a different procedure that wasn't previously available. And so we had a chat about it. We talked about some of the, you know, complications that we've heard about, things that we're hearing from people who've tried it already, and we can kind of make that decision. Is this something that we are going to introduce to our practice at this time or not? As far as new medications, you know, anytime something new gets FDA approved, whether it's a topical or a systemic, that's when we can discuss the medicine, kind of where we see it fitting into our toolbox, and if there's any hurdles, like if it's one where we think it's going to be difficult to get insurance coverage, how are we going to approach that in our practice? As I mentioned before, we'll also sometimes just review a topic and say, you know what, next week, we're going to just run through again pemphigus vulgaris, and we're going to talk about the workup and treatment management and new options for that. And then one of my favorite things is presenting highlights from conferences. So if there's one thing that you take away from this talk, I hope it's this tip. So anytime somebody in your practice goes to a conference or a meeting, I would highly encourage you to make time to go over the highlights with the other providers in your practice. With this, you know, you get such better dissemination of the knowledge. Also, for the person who's presenting, it helps to solidify the things that you learned at the meeting. So whenever we go to conferences, we all take notes on our biggest highlights and takeaway points. And then at those Tuesday meetings, the person will sit down and just kind of go through. Sometimes people are super organized and they type their notes and they email them out to everybody. And sometimes it's just really informal discussing. But I really think that this is a way to make sure that everybody's continuing with their medical education. And it's a great value for the practice because, you know, maybe only one person paid to go to the conference, but then you all are hearing about what you learned, what's new and different. So for our practice, these weekly meetings, I think, are really critical because it provides this atmosphere of growth. So when we're in these meetings, it's benefiting the patients, It's benefiting me as a physician, it's benefiting our PAs, and it also really solidifies our team dynamics because we all know outpatient dermatology clinics are really busy on a typical day-to-day. I mean, you're just kind of passing each other maybe in the hallways with a quick hi. You might not have a ton of interaction. And so just having a little time carved out to spend together, learning and talking and sharing ideas and new information, I think just kind of improves that fact that, like, hey, we're one team. Also, I love that everybody acts as a teacher and everybody acts as a student, and we're all truly collaborating, which really is the nature of the PA-physician relationship, right? We use that word collaboration, so you're really working together to address those challenges. Now, obviously, there can be some limitations to implementing some of these things that I've discussed today. One is time. So depending on the nature of your practice, like if you are seeing patients at several different clinics, or if your supervising physician is seeing patients at several different clinics, there might not be a time when you are all together in one space. Also, it takes a lot of time to, devote to things like, having these meetings and talking about the highlights from conferences, et cetera. Geography, again, like different locations, if you're going back and forth to different clinics, it can be hard. Personalities, like I know, people are different. Some PAs might not want to have this much, interaction with their supervising physician. Some doctors have different ways of how they view PAs or work with PAs in their practice, and different personal beliefs. And then one thing I didn't put on here is money, but that can factor in as well. So, if you're being paid on a productivity schedule and you are working with a physician, that's time that you're, not generating revenue that's being billed under you. So, like when the PAs are working with me on my calendar, obviously that's, getting billed under my name. So if you are working in this setting, then your base salary should, be adjusted to reflect that time. It doesn't always work with peer productivity. So my take-home points are that, one, we spend a lot of time with our coworkers. So collaborating effectively, I think, is very crucial for your long-term job satisfaction and for reducing burnout. Mutual respect and trust are really key to the PA-physician relationship, and spending time working together, talking about cases, I think is very important for building that mutual respect and trust. Always be a student, and even if you have been a derm PA for like 20 years and you feel like you're really on top of your game, you always want to still be a student and keep learning and keep growing. And definitely step up and be a teacher. Like, as a physician, I value that so much when my PAs teach me things. I really love it, and I respect them so much. So don't be afraid to, like, take these things back to your physicians. And I think overall, just, continue to value that professional development and growth. And that's all I have. So sorry, I guess we ended really early, but.